Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Bucks Weekly, this the second week of the NBA season. It brings with it the Bucks' first road game, which is tomorrow night in Toronto. It almost felt like we were in Toronto today, waking up and seeing the snow and continued snow throughout the day. But that is where the Bucks are headed. And an interesting start to the head coaching career for Adrian Griffin. We mentioned this on Bucks Talk last night, but his first game as the head coach, because he had been the interim isn't the word, but he had coached previously with the Raptors. There was a couple of instances with Nick Nurse. One, at least one, was unavailable, and the first was in the bubble where Nick Nurse just wanted Adrian Griffin to get the chance to coach a game. But as the guy who is the head coach of the team begins his career, number one, against Nick Nurse, and then his first road game is going to be in Toronto, where he coached for Nick Nurse on his staff with the Raptors. So an interesting start to the head coaching career for Adrian Griffin. A 2-1 start to that career for Griff as well. We will preview that Raptors matchup just a little bit. We're also going to hear from Gale Klappa, who had a chance to catch up with one of the newest owners of the Bucks, the newest owner of the Bucks, Jimmy Haslam. You will hear that conversation momentarily here. But there was some big news today in the NBA. The James Harden saga in Philadelphia is over. James Harden traded at, about 1 a.m. this morning to the Los Angeles Clippers. And it was interesting because it did seem like we were headed to a place where, okay, is James Harden actually going to play for the 76ers that we were seeing? He's ramping up. He's getting close. Nick Nurse said, yeah, he hasn't had any setbacks. We think he's getting close to playing. So you're bracing for the reality of, okay, maybe they're going to try to make this work. Maybe this is going to be, let's stay together for the children. Let's see if we can get through this. In spite of our hatred for Daryl Morey, let's try to put this together and be a competitive team. But then at just after 1 a.m. Central Time, we heard the news. James Harden traded to where we thought it was going to happen all along, the Los Angeles Clippers. This is an interesting trade for a couple of reasons. Number one, it seems like, and the most interesting part of this is, like, this is it. We're getting close to last call for all parties involved. What I mean by that, James Harden. Now, Tommy, as you know, I am nothing if not fair. I am not one of the habitual pile-oners of James Harden. Is he my type of player? No. But I don't take to the degrees of slander that you'll hear others say. He's a perfectly fine player, and sure, especially regular season player. He's very good. He was extremely good last year.
Yeah, led the league in assists.
Yes, and he changed his game, and he tailored everything to Joel Embiid, so he did make a sacrifice for that. The thing that has been constant, though, and why we say it's getting close to the last call for all parties involved, is he had two very good performances in the playoffs where you started to think, well, son of a, is James Harden going to have a playoff series? Like, all the jokes, he's going to show up and do this, and he's going to lead the Sixers past the Celtics. And then in game 6 and 7, it just a total implosion.
Yeah, absent.
And the guy that we had seen for a while. You go back to that Nets series where the Bucks won. James Harden was very good. And not only that, he was not healthy. Right, 9 seconds into that series? The hamstring issue? Gutted through it? I think we learned it was a grade 2 sprain. Or a grade 2, pull, whatever.
Strain, I think, is the right word.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not a doctor. Gutted through it. He played very well. And he had a couple of good games there, too. But this has just been the constant. You think back to times in Houston as well. Oklahoma City. He had a rough game against the Spurs early in his career that, you know, at this point, you just can't avoid it. Of the James Harden, yeah, but chatter when it comes to the playoffs. Last call there that, like, James, this is it. You don't put together a playoff run here, and you're just that guy. I'm sorry. You're labeled as the guy that, yeah, terrific regular season player. Maybe not quite as good as we envisioned, but certainly not good in the playoffs.
And it's kind of been, last year he went up for sure, but it was kind of downhill since that Rockets game 7. What was that, 2019-18 against the Warriors?
Yeah.
When they were up. Weren't they up 3-1?
Well, they were up 3-2, yeah. And then Paul gets injured and it's over.
Couldn't do it from there.
Last call for the Los Angeles Clippers, who, you know, you think back to that summer when they get Kawhi Leonard in 2019 and they trade for Paul George, a deal that came out of nowhere. And we start thinking, holy cow, like the Clippers are Los Angeles's team now. And it's never come together for them. Health has been a big part of that as well. But this group that they envisioned, just not able to stay on the floor together, and they haven't produced like you would have hoped. The Lakers, by the way, have won a championship since then when we kind of wrote the Lakers off and said, well, Clippers are taking over LA. And the big one is this is getting close to last call for Joel Embiid in Philadelphia because – I think this is a good Sixers team, and we saw that firsthand on opening night. Tyrese Maxey is going to be a very, very good player. Joel Embiid, whether or not you think he should have got it last year, Joel Embiid is the reigning MVP. So there is talent on that team. You bring in role players now, though we can get to the role players they brought in because there's certainly questions there when you talk about Nick Batum, Robert Covington, who I think – I haven't been all that impressed with what we've seen from Rocco the last year and a half. And Marcus Morris, same thing. We've seen him out of rotations everywhere, basically, for the last 2 years. But you're making the bet of, all right, let's bring in larger defenders, and we get those draft picks that soon as somebody becomes disgruntled and somebody's available, we can use those picks to trade for them. The problem is, who's that guy? I'm not saying there won't be one. Because we see there's always a guy. But who's that guy? Because the early names, Zach LaVine, does that do anything for you? Like you put Zach LaVine with that group of Tyrese Maxey, Zach LaVine, and Joel Embiid. I'm sorry, that's not on the level of the Celtics or the Bucks. Or those teams out west. Or maybe even those Clippers. OG Anunoby, another one. Oh, well, they can go get OG now. Same thing, that sooner or later, if you're Joel Embiid, look, it's only fair to bring this up because we had to deal with it with Giannis for the last couple of years, twice now. Well, when is Giannis going to ask out? When is Joel Embiid going to ask out? You watch everything implode with Ben Simmons. You see the James Harden experiment fail. You haven't gotten to a conference finals there. You've seen one general manager embarrassed and leave. You saw Daryl Morey publicly slandered by James Harden. It's been one thing after another there, and I think it is safe to ask, well, how much time do we have left there? So this deal is very, very interesting because it seems like it reeks of desperation from all parties, and that usually leads to this is the last call for everything we're doing here. We'll take a closer look at what that trade means for the Sixers. Again, I've been impressed with what we've seen from it's the regular season. Regular season, very early in the regular season, but I think they've been impressive so far. So we'll take a look at that, what it could potentially mean for the Eastern Conference. Will this be the year we finally see the Sixers and the Bucks in the playoffs? And that Clippers deal too, what it means for the Clippers, because correct me if I'm wrong, we've seen this before a couple of times, and it didn't really work out. So have some questions about that. We will get to those throughout the course of the show, 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. When we come back, though, Gale Klappa has a conversation with the newest owner of the Bucks, Jimmy Haslam. You will hear that after this on Bucks Weekly.
The next era of Bucks basketball is here.
Lillard, three-pointer for the lead! It's Dame time!
Giannis just inside the three-point line, working on Orlando Robinson. Spins around him, and good
Goodness gracious.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Tonight, we'll unpack it all with a guy who's been in the middle of it all. The president of the Bucks, Peter Fagan. And our special guest tonight, who's traveling with the team, is Bucks general manager, John Horst. By far the best record in the league. And Chris Middleton is a huge part of that thrill ride.
The source for the inside scoop on every dribble, drawn up play, and decision made. Now, here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, they say the only thing constant in life is change. And no doubt, change has been the byword for the Bucks this year. A new coach patrols the sideline. A blockbuster trade still has Bucks fans buzzing. And in the middle of it all, new faces have joined the top of the organization. You've heard the names Jimmy and Dee Haslam. Jimmy built one of the largest private companies in America. Dee heads a TV production firm. They've both been sports fans from the get-go, and they bring more than a decade of experience in the world of pro sports. Tonight, we go up close and personal with one of the new owners of the Bucks, Jimmy Haslam. Jimmy, welcome to Courtside. Thanks so much for spending time with us.
Gale, thanks. Our pleasure. Delighted to be on.
Well, Jimmy, you joined the Bucks ownership group just a few months ago, and ever since, it's been blockbuster deal after blockbuster deal. You're generating, Jimmy, some excitement here in Milwaukee.
Well, I don't. It's not us generating this excitement. Wes and Mark and team have done a great job rebuilding this franchise almost from scratch. So we feel very fortunate to be a small part of it. But we have had a lot of change during that time period. Obviously, we replaced Mark, and are certainly excited to work with Wes and Jamie Dimon and Mike Fraticelli and some of our other Fraticelli and some of our other partners. So we're looking forward to that. And of course, we made the coaching change and really excited about Adrian and his team. And then the huge trade that John was able to engineer, getting Dame and bringing Dame to the Bucks, and obviously adding one of the great shooters in the game, and then announcing that we had extended Giannis, and he'll now be with us for at least 4 more years, and we believe he'll finish his career here in Milwaukee. So lots going on, as you said, Gale. We're anxious to see how the team does on the court, because that's what counts.
And Jimmy, with Giannis signing the extension, first of all, were you surprised at the timing?
Pleasantly surprised. John and Giannis have a very close relationship, and I give the two of them credit for working it out. Wes and I had spent a decent amount of time with Giannis back in the spring, had conversations with his agents over the summer, and then spent a couple hours with he and his family last night. And what a remarkable person. Obviously a superstar player, but I've told several of my friends in the sporting world, I don't know that I've ever met a more humble superstar than Giannis, and you all know that because you work with him. And great family. His two of his brothers were there. His wife was there, his mom, his three kids, and just family is really important to them like it is to us. So we feel fortunate to have not only re-signed this great player, but also a great person. And like I said, I believe he'll be a Milwaukee Buck the rest of his career.
Jimmy, did you get to hold the new baby?
Unless that D was with me and she held the new baby. It was an interesting time because we had, you know, we had Wes and his brothers at the table and myself. And then later the family came in, and the family were in the trophy room over there kind of where the couches are, and we were sitting at the table. And so the boys were up and about it, and they were playing with their dad and coming over to talk to Wes and I, but it was interesting. And we have 6 grandchildren, so we felt right at home. So we held the baby. That's probably – she's a lot better at that than I am. But great family, great mom, great wife, and like I said, that's important to us. So it was great to see and spend time with them up front and personal.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, Jimmy, you mentioned earlier Dame coming to town. The opportunity to bring in a superstar like Damian Lillard comes along, you know, maybe once in a generation. But to make that trade work, we had to give up Drew Holiday, who is beloved, as you know, here in Milwaukee. Walk us, if you will, through your thought process as you and the other owners approved the trade.
Well, I want to, first of all, particularly from my standpoint, Wes is a little closer, having been here and been involved in the NBA a lot longer than we have. John did all the spade work in getting Dame to come here and engineered the trade. And Wes and I, of course, and Jamie have to sign off on it. But John did all of the hard work. And listen, we were talking with Giannis last night. You're not going to find and I don't know Drew personally, but know of him, a better person, a better defensive player, a better point guard. I mean, he's just a tremendous all-around person and player like Giannis is. The flip side is to get a shooter and a scorer like Dame is just rare, and he's still in the prime of his career. And to pair him with Giannis, we just thought was an unbelievable opportunity, and we're going to miss Drew and obviously thank him. He helped bring us a championship here, played a key role in the Bucks, and I think up until we made the trade, we thought he would finish his career too. We thank Drew. We wish him the best of luck. Really excited, though, to have Dame on the team, part of the team, and seeing if he can help bring us another championship. And I think we all know at the end of the game, particularly when you get down the stretch in the playoffs, to be able to make big shots from the outside is what wins those games. And you could argue he's one of the top one, two, or three in all of the NBA at making those kind of shots at the end of the game.
And, Jimmy, as you know very well, Dame's range from three-point land is just unbelievable.
It really is. It really is. We were we came up, Dee and I, Wes was there, Jamie was there, came up to watch the first practice. I think it was on Tuesday or the 3rd of October. And just to watch him shoot warming up is, I don't think I've seen anything like it. They, you know, they have this Bucks 100, which is how many three-pointers you can make out of 100. And I think the record before Dame got here, don't hold me to this, was high 70s or low 80s. Remember, this is 3 points. Three-pointers, and Dame got off the plane. They said he saw it. He said, I want to try that, and I think he hit 93.
Oh, my.
So, I mean, just, you know, he's truly a remarkable shooter. And I think the other thing that we've come to appreciate and that Giannis was talking about last night when we were meeting is he's also a very serious guy like Giannis is. He's an adult. He's a great family guy. And he came here with one thing and one thing in mind, and that's to win an NBA championship. And that's one of several reasons we're super excited to have him here and pair him with Giannis and Chris and Brooke and the rest of our guys.
And, Jimmy, you mentioned earlier we have a brand-new coach, Adrian Griffin. First-time coach,
right.
Long-time experience, and a former player. Give us your thoughts as you help to interview Adrian Griffin. Give us your thoughts about what he brings to the table.
Yeah, I think, first of all, you mentioned that he's a former player. Okay, and I think that gives you a different perspective. You don't have to be a former player to be a great coach. There's lots of examples of guys that played or didn't play. But he's a former player, and he's also worked his way up as an assistant. I think he's had about every possible job you could have in college and a pro as an assistant. So I think those are two great strengths he brings. He has a tremendous work ethic, okay? He, of course, is more of a defensive specialist. He's a highly competitive guy. I don't know if you've gone to watch him practice or not, but everything is competitive in practice, okay? Whether they scrimmage and they play till 10, the team that loses runs wind sprints. You know, they play a one-on-one tournament. Everything is competitive. And I just think he brings tremendous intensity, tremendous competitiveness. But at the same time, I think he reads and relates to people well. And you guys know we're going to start our first game on October the, I guess, 26th, this Thursday, and hopefully we'll play our last game on about June 20th. That's a long season, 82 games plus playoffs, a lot of travel, et cetera, and you've got to be able to know how to read and relate to players. Now, he's a first-time coach. He'll stumble a little bit like we all do the first time we get in a job, but we're excited about Adrian and his staff and seeing him lead this good, great team of players.
And, Jimmy, stepping back, with all the changes and all the action that's led up to opening night, what have you kind of personally taken away about the Bucks, about the organization, and about sustaining a winning culture here?
You know, it's interesting you asked that question because I walked out of the trophy room last night after we had just – it was a surreal moment, right? Nobody thought this was going to happen. We re-signed Giannis for another 4 years, and like I said, effectively meaning he's going to be with us his whole career. So that stigma of will Giannis leave or not is off of us, right? Giannis is going to be here. Okay, so now we can focus on winning championships and building around him for the indefinite future. But what I complimented Wes and John on, and I take no credit, they've done it, and other people in the organization, is This really is a tight-knit organization, and family is important. And you hear that a lot, and I kind of poo-paw that sometimes. But, you know, we spent time with Chris Middleton. Wes and I did this summer. We were in town and had lunch with him. I think we had dinner with Giannis. And this is a close, tight-knit group. We all went to dinner on Monday, October the 2nd, and you watch them interact. And, you know, listen, you range in age from guys that are 35, I guess Brooks 35, 36, down to, you know, Cliff Livingston's, what, 19? Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty big disparity in age range, but it's a really close, tight-knit organization, and that's one of the reasons, maybe the main reason, why I think Giannis stayed here. He likes the family part, and he trusts the people here, and that's why he re-signed with us rather than waiting. So that's my number one impression. I take no credit. I give it to other people that preceded us and that are here now, but it really is a close, tight-knit organization.
More with Jimmy Haslam in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Now back to Courtside with Gale and Bucks co-owner Jimmy Haslam.
Jimmy, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. I know that you've devoted your career to building one of the largest private companies in America.
Well, I would say to help build is a better way. My wife, Dee, and I were both born in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're both second generations in terms of our businesses. Dee's dad was in the advertising business and was one of the early leaders in cable television, specifically producing cable shows when cable first came on stream, I guess back in the 80s or 90s, whenever it was. And he recognized there was going to be a tremendous need for high-quality, relatively affordable content and started producing shows in, of all places, Knoxville, Tennessee. He sold that company to Scripps, and that company, by the way, is now HGTV.
Oh.
So we both grew up in family businesses. We got married, had kids early, and so everything revolved around work and family, and we both had been exposed to sports at an early age. My dad started one gas station in Gate City, Virginia, on the Tennessee-Virginia line in 1958, was in the gas station convenience store business until the 70s. We came to work in 1976, and we got the truck stop business in the 80s, and through a combination of luck, skill, hard work, and a lot of great people around us, we were able to build a pretty substantial company over the next really 30, 35 years. We've now sold all but 20% of the company to Berkshire Hathaway. They're the majority shareholder. And it's been great fun, just like we were talking in the first segment about building a sports team and sports organization. Building a business organization is very similar to sports in that it's highly competitive. You keep score every day. You know exactly where you are. You have good days and bad days, but it was a true privilege to first work at and then have the opportunity to lead an organization like Pilot Flying J.
When did you start thinking about basically trying to own a pro sports team, and how did the opportunity present itself?
Really good question. As we mentioned, we grew up around sports. I mean, I can remember going to watch Tennessee football practices when I was, you know, 7, 8 years old. And so we grew up around college sports. In the 90s, we actually bought the minor league baseball team in Knoxville, the AA baseball team. It was a franchise of Toronto at the time, and then later switched over to the Cubs. And we owned that, my father, my brother, and myself, with some local partners, I guess for 10 or 15 years, and sold it to a great friend of ours in Knoxville. And just by, you know, there's a lot of luck in life. And in our main business, Pilot Flying J, it takes a tremendous amount of capital or money to build stores and buy stores and grow like we did. So we were always talking with the banks about borrowing money, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the banks was in one day, and we went to dinner, and we were leaving, and there was a younger guy at the other end of the table who didn't say much. I introduced myself, and he introduced himself. I said, well, what do you do with the bank? And he said, well, my specialty is pro sports. I'm just tagging along with these guys today. And that was in about 2000, I'm going to say 3 or 4. And I said, well, if anything ever comes up, call me. And I gave him a business card. And about 3 years later, he called. I barely remembered him. And he said, hey, the Pittsburgh Steelers are selling 3 or 4 increments of 10% each. Would you have any interest in buying into the Steelers? And I actually said no, because it's a minority and we wouldn't have control. And I really didn't think very much. I just said no. And to his credit, he called me back, Gale, about a week later and said, do you ever come to Pittsburgh? I said, well, as a matter of fact, I'm headed there next week. We just opened up a new truck stop just south of Pittsburgh. And so I'm going to come up there. Why? And he said, why don't you come have lunch with Art and Dan Rooney? And I walked in and told the lady I was here to see the Rooney. She said, go up to the second floor. And elevator opens up, and there's five Super Bowl trophies. They've since won a sixth. Mm-hmm. And I don't care who you are, Gail, you see five Super Bowl trophies, you go, that's pretty cool. I came away, and I came back and told my dad and my brother, I said, they're just like we are. They have a family business. It's not nearly as financially successful, but it's obviously an NFL team. There's hardly anything as higher profile. I think I want to do the 10%. My brother always wants to think about things. My dad says, I wouldn't do that. You're not going to like being a minority guy. You like to be in charge, or we like to be in charge, what he said. I said, well, I think I'm going to do it. And he just dogged me for about 3 days. And I said, well, I'm going to New York next week. Why don't you go with me, and you can meet the guys at the NFL. The Rooney's want me to meet him. So the whole way up, he was on me, Dale. This is stupid. You're not going to like it. My dad played football in Tennessee, and then he was in ROTC. So we went in the military for 2 years. Well, the first year in the military, he played service football, which was a big deal at that time. And you'll never believe who his coach was. His coach was Al Davis. And they were exact opposites, but they got to be great friends. And so he and Dan Rooney started talking about Al Davis, and Art Rooney and I are the same age. So we just struck up conversations. Well, we get in the car going back to the airport, and he turns to me and goes, when are we going to buy the 10%? And I said, well, are we writing a check? And he goes, no, I want you to, but I changed my mind. I think it's a good idea. And so he got that first year. That shows you how things can be misleading. That was 07. Before we even paid for our 10%, the Steelers won the Super Bowl in Tampa. And when the Lerners decided to put the Browns up for sale, here again, we were lucky. They didn't want to go through a public process. And the NFL called us and said, you got a month to work it out. And we were very fortunate to work it out with them. And that's how we got the Browns, like I said, as much luck as skill. And then, of course, we were able to get the Columbus Crew when they were thinking about moving to Austin back in, I guess, 2019. And now to buy into the Bucks is just an extreme privilege. And that happened earlier this year, I think, in April of 23.
We'll have more with Jimmy Haslam right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Here's more Courtside with Gail and Bucks co-owner Jimmy Haslam.
Jimmy, I'm sure you've learned a lot in the decade or more since you took the reins of the Cleveland Browns. And more recently, as you mentioned, you purchased the Columbus Crew in Major League Soccer. Just thinking broadly, what are the two or three most important things you've learned about building success in the world of pro sports?
Yeah, really good question. And we've learned the hard way. And early on at the Browns, we were not as involved as we should have been. And what I would say this is pro sports is no different than business or a lot of things in life. You have to have the right people in the right place. And in pro sports, that's coach, GM, and then you have to have somebody run the business side. And then in the NFL, it's quarterback. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. And then in the NBA, of course, you need at least two really good players or two great players. In soccer, it's a little different. Some teams build up the middle, some build on the sides. But I'd say it's all about what we call at our main company, Pilot Flying J, RP, which GAIL stands for getting the right people in the right place.
Mm-hmm. That makes a ton of sense. And finally, as the season kicks into high gear, I know that UND will be spending more time here in Milwaukee. So here's a loaded question. What's your impression of our fair city so far?
You know, I want to be we always believe in being transparent. We spent one night there, okay? So I don't – to comment a lot doesn't make sense, but I'll just repeat what I just said. Matter of fact, we were riding in yesterday to go meet with Giannis, and – Dean and I commented, I said, you look out there and you're looking at Lake Michigan, not Lake Erie, but they're, you know, they're towns that have been there for a while, but gritty, working class, blue collar, love sports. But also there's two or three nice sized buildings going up in Milwaukee. So we're excited to be part of the community. We're looking forward to spending time in Milwaukee, getting to know the people, and, you know, or just, listen, Dee says it way better than I do. To be part of a pro sports franchise is a blessing. We view ourselves as just guardians of that asset until somebody else's turn to run it, but we're excited about being even a small part of Milwaukee with the Bucks.
Well, Jimmy, welcome to Milwaukee. Welcome to the Bucks. We're delighted that you spent some time with us. Thank you so much, and you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
Our thanks to Gale Klappa and Jimmy Haslam for that conversation. Mentioned the big news, the trade that sent James Harden from the 76ers to the Clippers earlier today. And what goes to the Sixers is Robert Covington, Nick Batum. The big piece in this is two first-round draft picks as well. Because the Clippers are hoping, and KJ Martin, by the way, the son of Kenyon Martin, is going to be with the 76ers now. The Clippers are hoping those two first-round draft picks that they are getting, they can flip for somebody else. But we went through the names earlier in the show of those that have already started to show up. I just don't know. What we've seen from Daryl Morey, being a high-stakes player, and I'll wait until I get the right deal. I suppose he waited long enough to make sure he gets draft capital here. But you did not get Terrence Mann back in this trade. You certainly did not get the best player in this trade. And, you know, as we just kind of said, you're getting into that sticky situation where, number one, I don't know who the player is out there. But also, how patient can you be if you're Joel Embiid? James Harden, P.J. Tucker, and Filip Petrušev are what heads to the Clippers. They will also get the least favorable first-round pick between the Thunder and the Nuggets in 2027 because Oklahoma City jumped in as the third team in this deal. That is how the 76ers got two first-round draft picks. So the Sixers get Rocco, Nicola Batum, Marcus Morris, Kenyon Martin Jr., KJ Martin, a 2026 first-round pick, least favorable between the Thunder, the Clippers, and the Rockets. A 2028 unprotected first-round pick, and that is the biggest piece in this deal in terms of what the 76ers get. A 2024 second-round pick from either the Pacers, Raptors, Cavaliers, or Jazz. A 29 second-round pick from the Clippers, and a 29 first-round pick from the Clippers. The reviews and grades for this trade, and look, it's one thing to take these at face value when we're immediately jumping in. It's the same with draft grades. The reviews have all been kind of mid for both teams. Like, are we sure about this? Haven't we seen this before? I mentioned, I feel like we've seen this before, because now, in Los Angeles, you are going to get, in the same backcourt, James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Just as we saw in Houston, where it failed miserably. Just as we saw in Oklahoma City, where I wouldn't say it failed miserably or even failed, but there was only one ball. And that was a much better version of Russell Westbrook. That was James Harden coming into his own. Kevin Durant was on that team. That's the one time that James Harden has exited a team where I think you would look at it and say, well, it wasn't really James Harden forcing his way out. That's the thing that's going to follow James Harden for his career. So when we said at the top of the show, it's kind of the last call for all of these teams, and for James Harden especially, that's what we mean. What does this mean for the Bucks? Well, the 76ers, on paper, get Nick Batum, who played well last season. But P.J. Tucker is a better version of Nick Batum. And look, I think we've seen the last 2 years. P.J. Tucker, not the guy that he was, certainly with the Rockets, and not even the guy that he was when he helped the Bucks win a championship. So if we're just looking at P.J. Tucker or Nick Batum, who would you rather have? I would rather have P.J. Tucker. Robert Covington for a while. Remember, Bucks fans, we should get Rocco. 5 years ago, sure, Robert Covington, one of the best 3-and-D players in the game. He is not that same guy anymore. Marcus Morris, we already said, I'd be surprised if he is in the rotation. KJ Martin's the intriguing piece here. But the big part is they have more size to defend. And now, what can you do with those draft picks? Who can you turn those draft picks into? So, to me, this kind of leaves the 76ers status quo. They were already playing well without James Harden. So, I get making this move and saying we don't feel like we're losing much. If anything, we're gaining because it clears the runway for Tyrese Maxey. So, this is kind of a wait and see in terms of what did this mean for the Bucks, for the Celtics, for those two teams that we think are at the top of the Eastern Conference. You got to wait to see what happens with those first-round picks that the Sixers got. If they're unable to do anything, then it means absolutely nothing. If they are able to get a two-way star somehow, then it becomes interesting. We could have a three-team race in the Eastern Conference. As for the Bucks, there is some news from today, and it involves one of the players we did not see yesterday and we hope to see tomorrow. Tell you what that is and wrap up the show after this on Bucks Weekly. All right, that Bucks news from today. They have exercised the 2024-25 third-year player option on Marjon Beauchamp. So the deal is going to be about $2.7 million, and the Bucks have until 1 year from now to decide if they want to do the same and pick up his fourth-year option, which then would nearly double, go up to about $4.7 million. No-brainer, right? Like, when we think about all the young guys that have come through, we've had this conversation quite a few times recently on the show, but when we think about the young guys that have come through, it's been somewhat more of a conversation. I think we've seen enough, but I'm not really sure. Talking yourself into players like a Jordan Wara, Sam Merrill before he was ultimately traded in the deal that brought you Grayson Allen. But, you know, it just goes back to the last decade or so when you look at all the guys that the Bucks have drafted. You've got Marjon, who it's still early, but you see some nice things in him. You had Dante DiVincenzo, who maybe didn't reach his full potential here in Milwaukee, but there were nice things there as well, and he's clearly at least a role player in the NBA. Up until that, it was basically Malcolm Brogdon, if we take the big names out of it, like a Giannis. You think about all the other guys that have come through here. And that's, again, another reason why that Dame Lillard trade was so important. The Bucks were getting older. You add more age in Dame Lillard, but in terms of retooling on the fly, you didn't really have a whole lot of young guys. And that's the other part of this Marjon, not trade, but the other part of this Marjon picking up the option year is gives you another cheap salary. When you've got Dame on that deal, identical to what Giannis just extended for, Brooke Lopez making $25 million a year, the deal that Chris Middleton signed as well. It's an expensive group that's getting older, so getting contributions from Marjon and getting it under $3 million is a big for this team. First road game of the season is tomorrow night. It is in Toronto against the Raptors. That is a 6 o'clock tip. 5:30 is when our pregame coverage will get started with myself and Dave Kane. And as always, stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you tomorrow night with the Bucks and the Raptors.